The following program is sponsored by Scoop USA Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Woo! Well, people, if you were listening to the previously recorded edition of Scoop, you know that it's a normal day and I was late.
Actually, no, you weren't just the only one. I was running late, too.
Yeah, but that means that it's normal. That means that life is normal. The world is working the way that it should. And Cherie is getting here when Cherie is getting here. I'm sorry to say it that way, but that's the way, fortunately, my life works most of the time. Well, welcome to the Inside Scoop. We are so happy to be here. We are taking note of the fact that, number one, next week is our last week before the election. Next week is, well, this week is the last week before tax time, which has me with a stomachache.
Mm-hmm.
So today we're going to do a couple of things at around like 10 minutes. We're going to get a call from Ms. Sarita Lewis, a good friend of mine who's having an event today that literally speaks to something near and dear to my heart about the election and people really seriously being disconnected. And the question is, like, what are we doing? You know, so she's going to call. She's going to talk about her program. Her program is happening this evening, which is hopefully this will hopefully bring some more people into our room. The title of the program is Vote for What? And that's a serious, serious conversation. So she's going to call. She's going to give us some insights as to what she's doing there. And we also will be then talking to my favorite, one of my favorite cousins, Kenji Ridley. He's going to call in and he's going to talk to us about tax time. Amaris is smiling because he's one of her favorite cousins too.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to talk to us about tax time and the option, well, literally the options that we have at this point, because it is a little late in the game. Most people by now who are actually getting returns have money back, have filed their returns and gotten their money.
Yeah, most people.
People who owe are dealing with another thing. As the question is, should I file for an extension or should I try to pay? Or what am I going to do? So that's a question I think that a lot of people are asking themselves today. I know that that's a question that I've been asking myself. So
there's also the group that falls into procrastinators.
Well, procrastinators are safe, particularly if you think that you're getting money back, because you can file anytime between now and 3 years from now if you're getting money. Mm. So that's an altogether different conversation. The question is for those who know that you owe.
Yeah.
Like business people such as myself who know that there's a portion of this that we owe. Have we generated enough income and put it aside, or have we had an opportunity in generating this income to put some aside to secure our taxes? Unfortunately, with the economy from last year, I'm sure that many people were in a situation such as me, mm-hmm. who were saying we didn't have anything. We almost barely survived last year. So we need to figure out how we're going to pay these taxes now. Like, we don't have the advantage of the Donald Trumps of the world.
Yeah. And there's
I rarely say that gentleman's name, but as it relates to taxes and wealthy people who can expense themselves out.
Yeah.
We don't pay, so it's actually the middle class people who end up paying taxes. But we're going to let Kenji talk about that, because, yes, I do have an accounting background, but that's not my current field.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah, well, you know I was texting you. You're aware of my sleeping pattern lately.
Yeah, so little, real quick about the ins and outs of Scoop. There are a couple of things going on. Last week, I actually had the advantage and the privilege of appearing at the WURD Democracy event. And I spoke there, and we were really, really in on the voting conversation and really trying to encourage people to come out and vote, because it really needs to happen. Another big thing was the earthquake. Did you feel the earthquake last Friday?
Yeah, I did. And it was funny because I remember the last time that we had a quake during, you know, a random time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was on the couch the last time and the whole couch moved. This time I was kind of just laying, chilling in my bed, and all of a sudden the bed starts moving and I was like, huh?
So I was in my office, which if anybody knows, my office is located directly on the corner of Broad and Girard. And I actually tremble all day, every day, because the subway is right under me.
So
I did not feel a thing.
You were like, what is this?
No.
This is just another train.
No, I did not feel a thing.
That's funny.
I was conducting an interview at the time, and my staff said, after about an hour or so after, like, did you feel that? And I said, no. And it's because I have become accustomed to the constant rumbling that I don't even pay that any attention. Unless it's a big thing with the subway, and I don't even feel that anymore. But because of the location, I actually do feel some tremble. And I've been there for 7 years now, so it doesn't bother me anymore.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel a thing. So, and then we had the eclipse. This has been an exciting week. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, then we had the eclipse. Did you see? Did you look at the sun? Did you see?
I didn't. Because it was cloud covered. And I was, I went out and I was like, I'm going to try to, it's cloud covered. And so I went back in.
Did you at least experience the difference in the weather from the time that it was supposed to occur to after?
I mean, the only thing that I experienced was it seemed like it got dusk and then it like got, you know.
Did it get hot to you or cold?
I was inside because the minute that it was cloudy, I was like, whatever.
So we were outside, me and my daughter, we were actually driving.
Did you wear glasses or?
So I did not look up.
Okay.
I was driving my car and we saw the difference in the light shift. And I said, oh my God, it's time for the eclipse. And I said, we should look. And my daughter says, you don't have glasses on. No, you should not. And I said, okay, then I won't. And then I said, but I want to. And she was like, well, you're going to go blind, Mom. That won't be good. So we had that whole fun conversation.
Yeah.
And a few minutes later, my daughter was kind of coming out of her jacket and saying, oh, my God, it just got really hot.
Huh.
Yeah, she noticed that she felt a shift. And she said, after the eclipse, I felt the difference. I don't know what people were saying. It was just weird to me that she experienced that difference. And she's only 18, so I'm not going to say she was flashing.
No. But you said that it was after the eclipse. So mm-hmm. during the eclipse, it actually like cooled off. So cooled off by like 17 degrees or something to that matter.
And then
when it came back, it would naturally start heating up again because the sun's out and heating up the earth.
That makes sense then.
Yeah.
Okay.
It tracks.
Okay. It didn't make sense to me when she said it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, are you sure you hot? And she says, Mom. So another thing, listen, so the Baltimore Bridge incident, and that was a couple of weeks ago. But as a result of that, apparently if you don't know, we're in Philadelphia, so we have a African-American woman mayor. In Baltimore, they have a younger, like a 35-year-old African-American male for the mayor. It's right here. And after he, and I noticed, and I watched the news during this time, and after he spoke, there became a whole big thing of people saying that he was the DEI mayor. That he only got his job because of diversity and equity, inclusion demands. And it brings to mind a conversation about diversity, equity, and inclusion and how, unfortunately, it's being challenge now, and people are saying that they don't want to introduce it or they don't want to follow those guidelines.
Yeah.
And a lot of companies are starting to try to pull away from it. It goes along with book banning and the control mechanisms that people want to institute to kind of not go toward inclusion, I'm assuming. I guess it's the safest way to say it. Right? But to come at this young man who spoke highly intelligent, he did not, and I've never been around him to say, but he actually deferred back to and said, whatever questions you're asking right now, we're just really seriously concerned about the human aspect of this. We need to find these people, all right? And he stayed with that. He stayed with that because as a person who is genuinely sincere and loves their work and loves the fact and understands the people that put him there, because it's people People are the ones that count, not on any of these other things. It comes down to the human aspect of it. And for them to say that about him and institute it, now it's caused a whole nother discussion again on another side about diversity and inclusion. And I say that to say, a couple years ago, the Inquirer had a, it's so interesting that this comes up. They had a conference with the black media.
Okay.
And during that conference, one of the part of the conversation was like, how are we going to survive? What are we trying to do? And I actually said it, and it was quoted on Twitter, that I said this, that trends are trends and fads are fads, and they come and go. That's why they're considered trends and fads. And I literally said that diversity and inclusion would be something that would be going, because it was not. It started out in 2015, 2014, and it was moving at a slow pace. But after George Floyd came and people needed an answer to the question or answer to the riots and how to quiet people who were upset, that became the trend, the topic of the day. We are bringing you into the room. Please slow down. We're going to give you what you want. If you notice, all of the commercials changed all of a sudden. Everything started to shift to diversity and inclusion.
Yeah.
But it was a shift that was not prompted because we wanted to make the shift. It was a shift that was prompted as a reaction to something that went crazy. And anything that's associated with reaction and being like, this is what we're doing because, usually doesn't last for long because it's not genuine. It's not sincere. It's a response.
I'm trying to think of the exact word, and it's my brain is failing me, but it's almost like a chessboard where they were like, oh, we can move this piece here, and that'll...
It will solve.
Yeah.
It will calm everybody down, and that's what it was.
Yeah.
But when you deal with situations like that, and we are reacting, and we're putting in a response,
yeah,
it's not sincere. It's like we're just doing this so that we can get out of this mess. Once everything calms down, we can try to go back. Unfortunately, lately, if people open their eyes and pay attention, you will see a lot of the things that are happening in our lives today are relatively responses.
I want to touch base on the fact that, like, Arizona, I don't know if you saw, but Arizona, their Supreme...
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, ooh, so...
So precedents. So let's give a quick understanding of legal precedents. So this, the law from 1834, I believe it is, or 1884.
Yeah, it was like 160 years ago or something.
The law at that point said that there were specifics about women and what they can do as far as their body and birthing. And Arizona actually voted yesterday, their court, and instituted that law.
And their Supreme Court, by the way, is not fair and balanced. It's entirely run by Republicans.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The mere fact is that it's the law now and it's written.
Yeah.
And then you have many states who follow national precedents. And national precedents means that once something is written into law in one area, it's precedence. And we can easily get out of the argument of whether or not we should make this decision. We could say we're following precedents based off of this, and this law. So we have a major problem. Women, we have a major problem. I'm saying it that way. Men don't have this problem. We have this major problem. We have entered rooms. We are becoming powerful. We are a threat.
Yeah.
They are shutting us down the best and easiest way that they possibly can. I don't care what anybody says about it. I'm a woman, and I feel completely, totally violated. I am not having any abortions, but I don't want somebody to say that, God forbid, if something happens to me, that I don't have that option. Or if I do become pregnant, people who are pregnant, who are forced to carry babies that they know are dead already.
Yeah.
Seriously. We have been put in a situation where people are saying, yes, you are the vice president of the world, but you don't mean anything. Because we're going to tell you what to do with your body.
Yeah.
Seriously, how is it that you can go up one level and down at the exact same time? It's really, really a real fight against us. And unless we understand that and we all figure out how to come together and validate who we are, our education, our backgrounds, everything is happening down. This today is extremely sad. Because it seems as though as a community, as people in general, things are being put in place to make us not value education, to not value growth, to not value being more. They're given all of these options, easy jobs. You get an easy job and you can make just as much money as the person in the office. So take the easy way. Mm. Don't go to school. don't get an education. Yes, we're giving you a seat at the table, but you won't have enough knowledge to understand what we're saying. So you'll just be sitting there. Mm-hmm. This is what's being said. And it's extremely upsetting to understand that. Because if you understand it, then you are on a fighting team.
Yeah.
Guess what? Many people are taking the point where they want that easy route and they want that job. And they still want a seat at the table, though. But they don't understand how when things come up at the table, they're not given a chance to speak. So it is extremely important that people understand that if you want to be a valued person, if you want to actually add value to the world and be somebody who is a part of and not just sitting here, that you have to invest in yourself. You have to have some sort of education. You have to be able to understand, read, write, understand the things that are happening to us, not to actually just tout my own horn and always say read Scoop. You have to support the publications and the things that are in place to help you be informed about what's going on in your life. Because if not, you're liable to be in a situation where you don't know what's going on. You don't know the good things that are happening right around you that you can be a part of. It's extremely upsetting to be in a situation where I can see things and understand them.
Yeah.
And then I can speak to somebody who does not have any inkling, understanding, or interest.
It's the latter, the last one that's like, why wouldn't you be interested?
Because, and I will say this, and I say this as somebody who's been there. When you live in a situation where you're trying to, I'm there now. Freak, I just can't turn off the fact that I know all of this. I'm going to take that back. When you live in a situation where you live in your four walls, you're trying to pay your gas, electric, phone bill, a car note, you're there too.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. When you live in this, I had to rethink that. You're there too, right?
I'm 100% there too.
So when you live in a situation where you're dealing with your four walls, gas, electric, if you have a car note, insurance, can I pay for this? Can I pay for that? How can I do that? So your mind is so convoluted and invested in trying to do the things that you need to do to survive that you aren't actually realizing or caught up on the things outside. Why? Because you can't focus outside of your box.
Yeah, because everything is so demanding of your time and attention.
You're spinning in this box.
Yeah.
And if you're in your box, and your primary focus is survival, then you can't live.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's why at a young age, I was at like 20-something, and my biggest prayer, I actually went to see a psychic, and I asked her, will I ever live? And she's looking at me. I said, will I ever be happy? Will I ever live? And I think that's a statement for a 20-some-year-old person that people would look at and they'd be like, what are you talking about? Like, you're alive. And I'm like, I barely can focus outside of trying to pay my bills and take care of my kid and be a mom.
Yeah.
Like, I'm scared every day that I'm going to get kicked out of my apartment because I'm behind. Mm-hmm. I'm struggling. I'm working four jobs, which I was. I don't know how I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Will I ever live? And the conversation, she said, yes, you will. And now I'm 50-some.
And you're still laughing.
And I'm still sacrificing. And my thought is, like, so when am I going to live? When I get to be 90?
Yeah, like when you're too old
to live.
Yeah, to really enjoy all the stuff that you could have enjoyed when you had the time.
Yeah.
And
so when you think
energy.
About, yeah. But that is just a clear...
I don't know.
Yeah, neither do I.
I really don't know. But, you know, circling back to the fact that we wanted to also mention voting, hinges on our...
I don't know where Sarita is.
On
is
us
Sarita
voting.
Here? Is she calling? I don't think so.
I don't know.
We would have heard by now.
But, I mean, Kenji, it's almost Kenji's time to, call in, too. I know. I really like him. Like, so, not just because he's very knowledged.
So, Sarita actually, just to elaborate on the conversation. So, answer this question for me, Amaris. The election is on the 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
You're registered, right?
Yes.
You're registered in New Jersey, though.
Yes.
When is the election over there?
Same day.
The primary is April 23rd there, too? I don't think so. I think it's a different date.
I'll have to look into that.
See? So here we go.
Here we go.
Number one is the differences. Differences in jurisdictions, differences in counties, differences in states. So here it is, the prime example, and not to use you as an example, but you didn't
know.
So you didn't even know.
Yeah.
So the most basic thing, most people do not know their committee person. They do not know their ward leader. Some of them, I would hope they know their council person. they don't know their senators. They don't know the state reps. Why? Because there's a lack of interest there.
Yeah.
Because people tend to focus on the immediate, what have you done for me scenario, as opposed to me being a part of a whole. And whatever happens in this entire community affects me, and I need to be responsible or understand the value of that community as a whole. So that's part one to that.
You can throw me under the bus because I have been in such survival mode for like a year and a half probably.
And you don't.
I'm like clueless.
So over in Jersey.
No clue.
No clue as to what's going on.
Yeah. Because right. I'm just 100% in survival mode.
I'm going to ask you something so stupid, like as far as a community.
It's probably not.
As far as community, because I actually don't know my neighbors' names either.
There's one neighbor I know. There's one, and then the others we just don't get along with, so we're, you know.
Okay. But you at least know enough to know that they exist and you don't get along with them.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is how the world has transitioned, how changed. Like years ago, you lived in your house for a long time.
Yeah.
Years ago, when you were in school, this, that, and the third, you kind of knew the people that lived around you, I'm hoping. Right?
Yeah.
Right? You did, right?
Yeah.
All right. Years ago, Are we talking like kid? Kid, teenager.
Yeah, like, of course.
You knew the people that lived there.
The next door neighbor when I was growing up, like, was a high school teacher, you know, that, and then her niece or nephew or whatever was one of my classmates, and so
there's a difference in the community. I'm just trying to use an example here. No, I'm using examples myself too.
Okay.
When I grew up, I knew everybody on my block. I knew everybody, I think, within like a 10 block radius of us, because we were able to go outside and hang out.
And you can drive by that neighborhood and still point out different houses and be like, that person
lived there. I can
drive
by and get out my car, and that's the only place in the world that people will scream my name and I will scream back.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people in my neighborhood is still there, because I grew up in North Philly.
Yeah.
And I grew up in the projects. But I say that to say that the voting issue stems from a whole bunch of other issues. First of all, the disconnect in our communities, because we're no longer communities. People are living in places and not knowing the person who lives directly next door and not caring who lives next door.
Yeah.
Just doing like I actually do and hope and pray that they don't have bugs come into my house. Seriously. Then you have the next layer, which is the outer part of the community. Are we meshing at all? Do we do like block parties? Are we having community events? How do we interact and share information in the community? If something comes into our community, can we all come together and fight against that? Do we know how to work as a community? These are the things that actually go up that scale, and which is where your committee people come in, your block captains, yada, yada, yada. And I've lived on my block for, oh my God, 24 years. We haven't had a block captain for 24 years. Seriously. So that's a complete disconnect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We haven't had block parties in years because nobody wants to take responsibility and collect the money and act as the block captain.
Yeah.
And now it's gotten worse because we're not even connected, because we don't know half of the people that live on the block anymore.
Oh.
So then you have, all right, so if you have a lot of renters, you have people that don't know each other, you have this, and then you got the voting. People don't even know where to go to vote.
Yeah.
If you do know where to go to vote, the voter people used to know everybody that comes in here because we were a community and everybody knew each other. Now it's not like they know everybody.
I will say that the place that I always have to cast my vote, there are certain vote machine, like the people that
the representatives there.
Uh-huh. That I've seen throughout the years. So there's like
they're consistent, but the community isn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So most of those people in those situations, a lot of them do get into that role and they stay there until they no longer can, which is part of the problem that we had after the last election when the older people during COVID, when the older people became ill
yeah.
or didn't want to come out because of COVID, and a lot of them left the polling places. It was a real big problem for us, you know. But there are so many levels, and it goes to your ability to cope for yourself, the ability to deal with your neighborhood, then the ability to even want to be involved and know who represents you. Yes, it's yeah, Amherst. But
sorry.
Taking it to all of those levels, then we also have that major question of then who to vote for. Like, do you even know who's running in your area?
I am going to refer back to I've been in survival mode. So no, I wish that, I mean, as somebody who comes on here and talks about voting and everything, I will vote and I will do research before I vote. But I leading into it, I don't know, because I've been in survival mode. I am trying to just keep my head above water and, you know, make sure that nobody comes and like takes my car because the note doesn't get paid, or that, you know, I lose my spot because I can't pay for rent or utilities or, you know, things getting shut off. Like, there's real problems where it's like just basic human needs that I'm struggling to like survive with. And so, no, I don't know who's
so
running.
The election is almost a week away. Two weeks away.
Oh, see,
the 23rd.
Then I'm 100% in fault.
And no one knows, seriously, very few people know who's running for office. Now, part of the problem in Philadelphia is a lot of people that are running for office don't have any challengers. So if you're running unopposed, you know, you're not running around trying to get people to vote for you because you're running unopposed.
Yeah.
But there's a major problem with that, though, because this is a presidential election year. It's following the election of 2020. And people need to be rallying people and getting them excited about voting so that we won't have a low turnout come November. This is like the first test.
What I find is funny is I really don't see, because usually I feel like inundated with ads and promos and, you know, vote for X, Y, and Z. Like, I don't really see a lot of that, like, right now on television or on radio. Or even ads in whatnot, and I don't hear people talking about it because usually people always talk about it. And we're not that far away from having a vote. We really are not that far away. So I'm very shocked that I don't, because normally I'm like, ugh, inundated where it's annoying because I hear so much.
And have you heard anything?
No, and that's the thing that's...
It's crickets, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So confusing.
Well, it's not confusing. I would love to say that it's definitely by, oh, Sarita is here. I would love to say that it's not by design, but I think that it is. Sarita, are you here?
I'm here. Hey, Queen, how are you?
I'm fine. Say hi to Amherst. I don't know if she was here when you came on the show.
I don't know.
I think she was.
I was? Okay.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
So we were trying to start off the conversation about your event because we were trying to talk about some of the things that, in my opinion, are happening with the election and the fact that it's very silent right now, which is something that bothers me. Because for the election to be less than 2 weeks away, it's a little too quiet.
Yeah, it's definitely quiet. And one thing to consider is that we actually have a really low number of offices that are being up for election again. So we have a lot of people running for the same office, so the incumbent is running unopposed.
Yeah, that's what I just said. So all of this, the state reps are up, right?
Every one of them.
And it's a lot of
them.
It's a lot of them, yeah. But most of them are unopposed right now. So they're not touting or trying to convince people to go out and vote because they don't have anything to worry about right now.
Right, but they should be worried.
Mm-hmm.
Not because they won't get into office unopposed, but like if we do our job, then we're going to be really requiring things from them in this upcoming cycle.
That's true.
And there's a lot.
True. And people need to, like, the voting process is not just about one particular role. I think it's about the whole the whole basis right. of coming out to actually be a voice and share your voice in this realm. Because mm-hmm. I think that's more important than anything. So even if you are unopposed, I think it's very important that you get people to come out and vote and actually participate. Because guess what? This is going to be an election. And unfortunately for us, it's very soon, where people need to show up. And if they get right. accustomed to not showing up, it's going to be hard to convince them at the 11th hour to come out for the one where we need them. Like,
you know, you're
unless
right.
you have and, a whole hallelujah moment and the conversations that are hitting the news are so ordinary that I don't think we can get a hallelujah out of that.
Well, I think that we could actually start thinking about the stuff that we care about, and we could start developing agendas around the things that we care about. And
answer this,
the hallelujah moment is when we have. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I'm waiting to see what you're getting ready to say.
Well, I mean, like, because we just had a shooting at the masjid mm-hmm. the other day. Yesterday. Right? Mm-hmm. Gun violence, that's an issue, right? That is an issue that's on the ballot because mm-hmm. the people who are in position to make bills and pass legislation that will impact us, and that would be our state reps, our state senators, and our congressperson are all up for election.
All right. So I'm going to play devil's right. advocate right there. And mm-hmm. we're going to say that gun violence has been an issue for not just the past 4 or 5 years, but maybe for the past mm-hmm. 10 years. All right. Right. And interesting that you say that, because I think today the department, they actually are introducing some new laws with regards mm-hmm. to guns national. Mm-hmm. And that is coming into play as of today. And I know that there are people who are in office who have been working on issues. But my concern mm-hmm. is why is this a conversation?
It's a conversation.
But why?
Because
people don't care until their kids are killed, right? Is that what it is?
That part.
And okay, yeah. until it hits home. Because they actually yes. had on the news before while I was coming in, they had the parents of some Columbine kids on, and also mm-hmm. some Florida kids mm-hmm. on MSNBC talking about the shooting there, as well as talking mm-hmm. about the arrest of the parents of the young people from the kid who killed the kids at the school in Texas.
And then we'll estimate what your bill would be, okay?
I'm sorry, y'all. I'm on my way to another meeting.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to take your clothes, baby. And we're just going to 40th in Baltimore.
Oh, okay.
So.
All right. Oh, sorry,
you know it's live radio when.
Uh-huh. So, listen, so they were talking mm-hmm. about the arrest, and not to go off of mm-hmm. gun violence, but it's so many multiple levels with this. The arrest of the parents right. of the young man who killed the kids at the school in Texas. And they right. were sentenced yesterday. And then the arrest now of the principal of the school where the 6-year-old yeah. shot his teacher. They arrested
right,
her for...
And the assistant principal. Not
yeah, the assistant principal. They're arresting yeah. her because she didn't respond properly when she was mm-hmm. informed that there was a chance that he had a gun. Mm. So this dynamic of gun violence now has extended to your job description. And an average person who goes to work, wakes up and goes to work in the morning and works in a building where something happens can actually be accused of this crime. Like, seriously... Right.
It pulls down to that precedence thing again.
Precedence and people, unfortunately, looking for answers to solutions where you have a Congress, you have state representatives, you have people in positions to make decisions, but they're so busy having discussions that we're not moving past that. So now it's coming to the right. point where it's going to be written in your job description. Seriously, I would write it in mine because I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to go to jail for somebody else's actions. Seriously.
Yeah.
That... You need to respond in this order. That's
you do, but I mean, but like, let's also look. I mean, like, I am not going to call a race card at mm-hmm. all. What I am going to do is ask people to just look at what you see.
And unfortunately, in the incident with the vice principal, they did use race as an initiative. They used race and said that her lack of response was because the teacher was a white person. They used reverse race on us. Seriously, like, the unfortunate reality is that race is always going to be a factor, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, whether we acknowledge it or not, is always hidden. Even in the minds of the people who are accepting to the differences in diversity, it still happens. Mm-hmm. They still think and they say, well, when you describe somebody, what's the first thing you pick out in the description? Oh, she's a black girl. Right. Seriously. Right. It's the first part of describing somebody. It's never not going to be a part of the conversation. But when we come back to the basis of, all right, elections, people, what things are we doing? Why are we going to do it? Like, we have to first understand that is always going to be a part of the conversation. So we need to get over that. Like, it's there. Mm-hmm. It's not going away.
Right.
Seriously, because if there's somebody
in the room that we have to acknowledge.
Exactly. But how can we understand and what, how can we get an elephant, aha moment out of this and try to get people to then go vote? I don't know how to convince us to vote. And I own a newspaper and I do tons of things. Yeah, encouraging people to vote every single week. All I do is say vote.
I see it in your newspaper.
And it falls on deaf ears. So I don't know how to make that happen. I don't know. Should I put like a, I don't know what to do. I would love to have a group come together and we just do some brainstorming and think about different ideas and try them.
Do you want your vote taken away from you?
Well, Sarita's event is going to be the first part because we need to talk about this. Yeah. So what are we doing?
What's your event? Let's do that.
My event is called Vote for What? Just that simple. I met a guy some years ago when I was doing voter registration, and I asked him, I said, are you registered to vote? Because he was like, what you doing over here? I said, you registered to vote? Oh, yeah, of course I'm registered to vote. And I think that for many people, across the country, across the world, actually, registering is the easier of the two things that you have to do. The hardest thing that you have to decide on your voter registration is what party are you going to affiliate with if you choose to affiliate with a party. And so when I said to him, oh, well, you are? He said, yeah, of course I'm ready. I said, oh, okay, cool. You're going to vote? And he said, vote for what?
Oh, geez.
That's where you got it from.
Right. And but it was a question that really required an answer on a number of different levels, right? Vote for what? That's a great question. Mm-hmm. Meaning, like, are we, like, is the purpose for me to vote because, like, my vote doesn't count? And then let's consider, like, vote for what? Like, what election situation is happening? Who's running? Vote for what? Meaning, what issue is up for consideration? Vote for what? There's a lot of vote for what. Right?
Well,
but
that's
at the
fair.
Core of it all, the reason why people ask that question is because they don't know what they're doing. Literally. Oh, if you ask most people if they know what they're voting, like, do you know what the senator does? Do you know what a congressman does? Do you know what a state rep does? Do you know what the president does? They are going to tell you, usually, not really, but people tell me that I have to vote. Okay, so if you get ready to hire somebody to do a job, wouldn't you want to know what the job description says to make sure that you're hiring somebody that's going to make sense for the role?
True. And that most definitely.
I would say yes. Well, but most people don't know what they're voting for. They don't know what the roles are. They don't know how it impacts their particular home, the community they live in, who they can hold accountable. Do you have any idea how many people call a city council for stuff that the state rep or the congressman is supposed to be doing and vice versa? Because people don't know. They're just voting because you're my elected official, so fix it. And I get it. And it's not great within the responsibility.
So whose job is it? Is it the state rep's job to tell people that this is my job? Is it the city council's person responsibility to share this is my job?
Can I just throw school under the bus? Because I'm like...
School.
You can't
civics has been removed from schools since probably in the early 2000s. It's not taught anymore. I don't think I was taught history.
It wasn't anything. Like when it was in the schools, it had already been watered down. so the answers weren't there anyway.
Well, like, we got the basics. I got a full understanding of the courts and the state reps. I got an understanding. That was in 1985, though, mm-hmm. where I was. Okay. I learned the different parts of the government and what happened. I did learn that.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody else
learn it.
Hmm.
But did you learn it in a way that it made sense when people?
Oh yeah,
said, how it impacts your community.
But you
were lucky.
I had a wonderful history teacher named Mr. Smith, and he taught, and he was
what
also.
What grade were you in?
I went to Dobbins. It was from the 9th through the 11th. I had the ultimate history mm-hmm. teacher who was an African American mm-hmm. man who taught us history. Like, seriously,
but that's,
back in the day at Dobbins,
most people didn't get that because I did not get a cohesive understanding of what I should see, know, and do.
Yeah.
And so because I didn't get a cohesive understanding of what I should see, know, and do, I don't assume that anybody else did.
Oh, no, most people didn't.
I was going to say, I definitely didn't. Like, they taught basic stuff to us in school, but they were so sports oriented that, like,
that was the mm-hmm. that was the most important thing for them.
Yeah, like
mm-hmm. yeah, we go with what makes sense for us, and we put that right. off on everybody
else. And people
else.
Actually, they focus on the things that are most relevant, and then you have to contend with the school boards, the school districts, the people who tell you, oh, we don't want our kids to learn this, or I want to teach this at my house. And then we end up with a bunch of kids who, when I go and talk to them, I say, hey, you guys ready? Like, I'm registering you to vote, but are you okay? And when they say, yeah, I'm fine to register to vote, and then the next thing that comes out of their mouth is a whisper, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm really nervous. They don't want to make a mistake. They don't want to make a mistake. They don't want to make it worse. They want to make it better. But when they feel like they're kind of arrested in what to do and how to do it, that's the problem. So Vote for What is today at 4:00. It's going to be from 4 to 6. We got a lot to cover, y'all. So it's from 4 to 6. We stopping at 6:00 because I got something else that I got to do right after that because today is one of those days. But today we are actually going to start investigating the Vote for What, the question. The goal is for us to be able to walk away having an answer. If you ain't got the whole answer, you got a lot of the answer. And we're going to do it again next Thursday, same place, same. And might make it a little bit later so that more people can attend. But today we're 4 to 6 and we're going to be at the Simpson Fleischer Conestoga House at 5353 Market Street. Master Street. Don't say Market. Master mm-hmm. Street. Yes.
Oh, right mm-hmm. around the corner from me.
Yep, it's right around the corner from you. And the goal is to be like, we have super voters that are going to be there, the senior citizens, because they already understand their responsibility, but they don't all understand what to do. And so we're going to be talking to everybody, and we're going to get them all
See, there's the disconnect there, because our seniors understand their responsibility. They understand the answer of why, but they don't understand the who. Like when you go into the box, You're looking at a whole bunch of names.
I used to
go into the box and do eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Yeah. Now that I know everybody, because I'm in a room with most of them all of the time, I can actually make a good decision.
You, guys. I appreciate you.
But for the most part, most people don't even know who they're voting for.
Yeah.
And they go into the box and they might pick one person and then push vote and then leave. Or do like I used to do and just say, all right, let me just close my eyes and pick a couple of names and just...
So there's multiple levels of
there's multiple levels of confusion and yeah. disconnect with the entire voting process, and the people who are in positions to do it or the people who are being elected to office, they don't tell you enough about themselves so that you can make a decision.
Yeah,
it's like they don't want
they
you to know
you
who they are. They don't want you to know
don't.
Who they
are. Tell you, but they tell you stuff that doesn't matter. I went to high school in this neighborhood.
How many years?
I knew Miss So and So. Who cares? If you went to high school in this neighborhood, tell me what you're going to do in this neighborhood that's going to impact us today. Like, what are the things that you see that you in this position will be specifically be able to get tasked to do? What are the committees that you are hoping that you get assigned to? And no matter what committee it is, that you get assigned to, how are you going to make that thing be impactful for the people in your community? Those are the questions. So yeah. I am actually at my next meeting.
So. Okay. Well, hi. Thank you for calling in. One more question before you get off the phone, off the line, actually. Are you going to be on Facebook Live or anywhere else, or will you be taping this so that it's going to be on Facebook Live on what site? Because I'm sure a lot of people would love to say that they can try to come, but it needs to be out.
For sure. So what we'll do is I'm actually going to stream it live from my Facebook, Sarita Lewis. It's open. It's just a public account.
Okay.
I will also stream it from Urban Seek, URBNSEEK on Instagram.
Okay.
So I'll stream it from both of them.
Okay.
And the goal is for everybody just watch it, just ask questions, and get the answers.
All right. Can you make
sure
you save it so we can send it out in an email afterwards? All right.
Yes.
We're going to do it on Zoom.
We'll actually save it. We'll film it and save it on Zoom. Okay?
All right. Love you. Thank you so much for calling in.
Love you too.
All right.
Absolutely. Bye.
So I guess Kenji get and make it.
Yeah.
Jeez. What the heck?
He stood me up. No, I'm just kidding.
Sarita
gotta bring some humor.
Kenji didn't make it. So real quick then, I'll go over four of the things that are in my mind for text time, and you tell me what you think. Because last year, Miss Mary came on, and I hoped that she was going to be able to come on this year.
I was really hoping she would come on, too.
I know,
she's
knowledgeable. We actually didn't even get to a point to call her. I feel so bad.
Aww.
We're going to have to do something after text time. We have to do something with her when she come in and talk about the people that didn't file on time.
There we go.
Because we do know that there are going to be some who didn't, who need help. So, next week, what date? The 15th, because the tax day this year, last year they moved the date up a couple of days because of the timing.
Yeah.
But this year, it's not even next week, it's Monday. Jeez. It's like 4 days from now. Monday is tax day. And I'll say that again. Monday is tax day. So, if you have not filed, it's time to actually start panicking. If you're in a situation like me and who still has maybe two or three pages of the expenses to get into the system, you need to get working. It's very important that you get all of your stuff lined up. You can sit down if you have a partner, husband, wife. Sit down, exactly understand your filing status, where you're filing. Try to get all of your information together. Sit down and do your taxes and push the send button. I don't know about any of the drastic changes that were made to taxes this year. I know that the student loans, I actually am wondering. I wonder how people who were given that benefit of not having to pay all their student loans, if they have to write that off on their taxes. There's so many different things that are going on that people actually probably won't even think about until you actually sit down at that system and do your taxes.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting time of year. I mean, I, as a business owner, I actually file married, and I actually am going through some transitions because my daughter starts college next year. So my taxes, your taxes follow you.
And you bought a car?
Yes. Yeah.
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 That's one of those.
There are many things that are going on. Many, many, many things as far as your taxes. So Kenji didn't make it. Hopefully we'll be able to get something from him and we'll include, maybe he'll come on. Either him, he will, or Miss Mary will be able to make it next week to talk about taxes with us.
I really hope, I really like Miss Mary.
I tell you, we got something else going on because I saw Jabari yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so he'll be joining us again soon. He's going to come back and we're going to do our city talk. So okay. I'm excited because we have so much fun when Jabari comes in the room. And he enlightens me and gives me some inside thoughts about politics, about life, about all of the things that I tend to not think about. Oh, our event. Yeah, so the girls, I have a quandary. Because I asked the girls to come on next week.
Okay.
But they haven't confirmed yet. So, real quick, we're going to close out the show talking about my daughter's event. Now, it's under the Scoop logo. It is my event. I sponsor. But me being a mom and a great person who loves giving and pushing my young ladies around me, and Amaris is smiling because I make them, I put them in uncomfortable situations, and I make them do things that actually help them grow. And I have to mention in saying that, for all who's listening, I am the chairperson of the National Congress of Black Women, so it is my job to get young people together and make them grow. It's become my new job, as my husband laughs and says, well, how are you going to do that? But this particular, this is our third annual event. The first year we did it, we entitled it Please Don't Touch Me There, and it was the title for Tiana, who is one of my adopted daughters, who's been doing some great things. Tiana Brown, she's been doing some great things. We started out with her book, but recently she had a movie that's come out.
That.
Yes, you have to watch it. It's on Tubi now.
Okay.
So I have my adopted daughter, my real daughter, I have my niece, all in the room, two therapists, one writer and author, who also does social services, even though her degree isn't in that area. So all three of them come together every year now. This is their third year doing this. They come together and they talk about not just sexual assault. They talk about trauma.
Yeah.
Women, men, people who experience trauma. My goal in bringing them together at the first one was because I suffered and was involved in domestic violence. My daughter was involved in domestic violence. Tiana was involved in domestic violence. My goal was to bring enough people together to have a conversation so that people will at least have enough knowledge to understand some of the signs to look for.
Yeah.
When you're going into that. Because had I known some of the signs to look for, I would have ran. And as a person who was a survivor, now that I see some of those signs, I'm like, oops, nope, you stay over there. You stay far away from me. But just in general, knowing that. So look, tune in next week and you'll be able to listen to Sharmell, Tiana, and talk about the sexual assault and homicide event that we're having on April 27th. I want to thank you all for listening to The Inside Scoop. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Amber, say bye.
All right. Bye, everyone. Thank you for listening.
Battles aren't won solely on the field. That's a common misconception. Battles are won within. Over enemies of fear. Enemies of doubt. In that place where promises are kept. Promises to oneself.
This is a physical training event.
Promises to one's community.
Helping people move debris out of their house.
Promises to one's country. In the heart of every Marine, you'll find a promise. A promise forever kept. A promise of battles won.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who will make preventing pandemics their life's work. Sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who will help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who will be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future, who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code, and who enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
First Responders Children's Foundation takes care of the children and families the brave ones leave at home. Help us help them. These are the beautiful voices of police officers, firefighters, nurses, and teenagers who remind us that we can come together and create harmony and unity. Brave to 24365 to learn how you can help your first responder community today.
In 2007, Marine First Lieutenant Travis Manning was killed in Iraq after saving his wounded teammates. Travis's legacy lives on through the five words he spoke before leaving for his final deployment. If not me, then who? Words that today fuel the spirit of Travis Manning Foundation. Words that live in veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians who go out of their way to find a way, who help others with the help of others, who bounce back after each setback, who make good on good intentions. Through Travis Manning Foundation, if not me, then who, are words that can live in you too. Show the world what your character is made of, because character is invisible until it's not. Find out how you can strengthen the character of your community alongside empowered veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians at TravisManion.org. That's TravisManion.org.